ready now or number two, Paul Flashen. You love Loverboy.
Let me tell you, if I had a draft prospect who openly listened to Loverboy, I'd take him off my big board immediately.
You know what? If we have any interns today, Maloney, will you get one to confiscate Paul's phone? And let's find the cheesiest song on Paul's phone. I want to know what it is.
My phone's so maxed out, I had to take all the music off it. So, good luck. Here
you
go.
You know what, Paulie? Yeah, you downgrade that guy, and then he would go on and start a decade for you.
Ja Morant doesn't listen to Loverboy.
Everybody's working for the weekend. You have no idea, my young Krug brothers, but Loverboy used to be absolutely massive. I mean, huge.
No. No,
oh, at one point in time, they were huge, and we all know that. Putting on your Jordache jeans, you know what I'm talking about.
Revisionist Keith history. Partridge. You want a piece of my heart?
You better start from the start. Paul, have you ever karaoke?
No, I can definitively tell you. 100% have
there
never gotten up in front of a karaoke machine.
No college spring breaks?
Never.
Not one college spring break.
Never.
I have to tell you this right now. This was part of the culture of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and nobody knows this. Part of the culture was this Loverboy culture, the Jordache jeans. They all wore, Paul, they all wore cowboy boots and Jordache jeans, right? And cowboy hats, and some of them... Some of these guys would come walking out with these huge furs. I kid you not, as a 17-year-old kid, when I walked into that locker room, ladies and gentlemen, at 17, I was blown away. These guys walking around in cowboy boots and these jeans on and these huge fur coats with a cowboy hat.
You know why?
This was the NFL, baby.
I'm just going to take a guess.
Smoking at halftime?
Because smoking, walking around after a game, smoking. How you doing, Terry Bradshaw? Give me a smoke.
Because those guys grew up watching Joe Namath. The guys in the 70s watched Joe Namath with the fur and that kind of swag, and then they got to the league in the 70s, and that's what they were doing.
One of my fondest memories, Basinonians, ever is the first time I went into that locker room. I won't tell you the full story, but I can tell you right now, there is an image that is burned into my skull of Jack Lambert. Jack Lambert. Oh, my goodness. The legendary Jack Lambert with his hands all taped up. His hands were all taped up. His shoulder pads were off, right? His pants were still on. He was still spatted up. He had a towel over his head, and he was smoking a cigarette with these bloody hands that were still taped up. His knuckles, Paul, were bloody, and I couldn't see his face, but I saw the cigarette go underneath the towel. And then this cloud of smoke coming out from underneath this towel. I'm telling you right now, that image is one of my favorite images. I knew I wanted to be like Jack Lambert when I saw that.
Just don't tell us that Jack Lambert, please, that he did not have a full-length fur coat hanging in his locker.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
My young crunk brothers, trust me on this. Trust your Uncle Ron. Google Jack Lambert. Just Google it. The most fierce, intense football player that may have ever played.
I don't know if Charlie Casserly is the most fierce draft expert that's ever talked draft, but is he on an anti-Kyler crusade for somebody? Here is the latest thing from NFL Network. If the rip job on everything that is Kyler Murray at the combine didn't work to play quarterback for Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals, if that didn't go well, now he's going the positive route. Let me positively talk about somebody else. You've got Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, Ryan Finley. In some kind of order, those are the five guys recognized as the five best quarterbacks in this draft. Casserly says Kyler may not be number one.
This guy should be in the first round. His issue is going to be, are there going to be four quarterbacks taken in the first round, and what is his rank? I know some teams that have this guy number one.
Now, isn't that weird? The question is this guy even a first-round pick?
But he's talking about Drew Locke right there, by the way.
But he's talking about Drew Locke, the Missouri quarterback.
Yeah, you know some teams, Charlie, that have him number one ahead of Kyler Murray?
That's right, sir.
In the XFL, Charlie? honestly, I'm trying to figure that one out right there. I will tell you, Basinonians, that the football universe, and I've been talking about this, but it's in a state of flux right now. It really is. There is a schism that is going on in the National Football League. A schism.
Well, if you are an old school guy, I could see why you would take Drew Locke over Kyler Murray. Now, the question is, are you
exactly.
old school because Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl?
Yes.
And it's proven that that's still the way to go? Or is it more, you're old? You're not old school, you're just old.
Well, because Kyler Murray's about this tall, see? That's the thing. Some people don't want a quarterback that short because they don't want to change their offensive scheme. Okay, people look at this guy as an athlete with a strong arm that keeps improving. My feeling is this. Murray can play in the right system. We've already been through that showdown and up to the minute before.
I think of Drew Brees. I think of Drew Brees when I think about this conversation that we're having right here, right? I mean, Drew Brees! Another pocket passer, right? Drew Brees, Paulie, here is a guy that, would you say they've had great success in New Orleans?
I would say
Drew Brees as their quarterback, right?
That would be a ding.
I'm not saying they've done nothing but win Super Bowls and they do nothing but go to playoff games, ladies and gentlemen, but I am saying this. Even with Drew Brees, whenever the Saints run the ball and are balanced, have you noticed how much better their team is? Their team is so much better with Drew Brees
and
a balanced professional offense.
You know,
this is the schism that is going on in the National Football League. There are some people that think this is the run and shoot all over again. This is the run and shoot. This is the 46 defense. Everyone is running after it. And yet the pillars of the game remain. I think Bill Belichick is a person that believes the pillars of the game remain. And there are other teams in the National Football League that feel this way. And then there are teams like the Los Angeles Rams, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Arizona Cardinals, I think, that are going to start going the other way, the more progressive way of playing football.
If you're a defensive coordinator, Charlie Casserly, and you have to get ready for Sunday's game, are you going to fear Drew Locke more or Kyler Murray?
Right now, Kyler Murray. Give it 2 years? I don't know.
Really?
You cannot forget.
How so? Like in 2 years, what changes?
Here's the thing. You cannot forget the power of RG3. I mean, RG3 is everything Kyler Murray was coming out. And he was fantastic his rookie year. And then totally fell apart, totally got broken in half, and totally bought into the owner loving him and became distant from the team. There's no way to know. And therefore, Kyler Murray could be that guy, whether it be attitude or being broken in half.
Kyler Murray could do everything RG3 could do, but RG3 cannot do some of the stuff that we've seen Kyler Murray do. In terms of the accuracy and the timing and the ability to throw and find open receivers and read defenses and throw from the
pocket.
But
we didn't know that until year two. He did it at Baylor against the Big 12 competition, and he did it in year one when he only had to read half the field.
Yeah, but not only that, too. Every quarterback, Basinonians, is going to be judged on whether or not he can throw the ball.
Yeah.
Every quarterback is going to be judged on that. Russell Wilson really didn't become the quarterback that he is right now by running the ball. He didn't. That was just gravy.
Coming
that was
up.
Just icing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson became the quarterback that he is because he learned how to throw the ball from the pocket.
Yep. Coming up next. Do you remember the cool stat from earlier this week that was proven last night that might carry ASU over Buffalo today? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Show today, Bickley and Murata and Burns and Gambo, right after the Doug and Wolf show, going to be live at Marley's in Chandler. And then right before Bickley and Murata are done, Kyle and Tim take over, live from Tulsa, Oklahoma, Arizona State, taking their talents to Tulsa.
That was good.
I admit I got a thrill out of that one. And they're up against Buffalo today, and if they win, probably Texas Tech on Sunday for the chance to go to the Sweet 16. The NCAA tournament, thanks to Santan Ford and Schwartz Laser Eye Center, the two companies helping you get into the madness. If you want any more details about how you can win tickets and anything that's going on at Marley's today, just go to arizonasports.com for the opportunity. I said this to you earlier in the week, and I admit it dramatically affected my bracket because I love this stat. There's something to it. I think I can explain it, but it's too real to ignore. And I think it's going to get me two games right. All against right. teams that I think the better team is going to lose.
Let me look at my bracket here, ladies and gentlemen.
Game number one is last night's Maryland-Belmont game. I picked Maryland. And I thought Belmont was a better team, and a lot of pundits, is the smell.
Yes.
They had stinky brackets. Yeah, actually, right. We're all over Belmont.
Or their dogs.
They were all over Belmont, and very few people are on ASU. Most people are on Buffalo, and I have it flipped. I picked Maryland, and I picked ASU.
No.
And the reason why is the stat that coming out of Dayton, ever since the first four games, not when they just had the 2-16 season, that was it.
I love this one.
But ever since the first four games were scheduled in Dayton, if you win on Tuesday, you've only won once on Thursday.
Wow.
If you win on Wednesday, you've only lost once on Friday.
That's incredible.
And I really believe it has to do with you find out Sunday where you're going. And Dayton, the Dayton airport, unless you're flying charter, there's not a lot of flights that go in there. So you get a charter flight, you can fly into Dayton. But it's a little tough to get there, have your shoot around and everything on Monday, turn around, have your press conferences, boom, play on Tuesday. And then as soon as that's over, you've got to turn around and in Belmont's case, get to Jacksonville. I think they bust down to Jacksonville. And then you're in late, and then you got to get ready for a Thursday game. And plus, you just played two or three games in your conference tournament. So you're talking about probably five games in 5 days, 6 days, with heavy travel. I think that's a lot. Well, ASU found out Sunday. They had an extra day of preparation. They get there on Wednesday, and what do they get? They get the jitters out a little bit. Plus, this is where it's actually a rare time losing to Oregon might have been an advantage because you didn't turn around and play Saturday.
Yeah.
So you got a tiny bit of extra rest, and now you got your jitters out of the way. You've won your first tournament game. I think you're a little more relaxed going into Friday, and the numbers have borne that out so far. I don't know which one's right. So I do believe Buffalo's a better team, and I think ASU's going to win today.
Are you serious?
Because I'm totally buying into that stat.
Wow, that is going to be really interesting to watch, ladies and gentlemen, as to whether or not Doug Lease is right on that one right there. Listen, I hope you are right. This team's volatility makes them maybe the most dangerous team that's still out there in this first round, right? Just the fact that ASU is so volatile, so up and down. I honestly think they could give a lot of the best teams in the tournament a run for their money on any given night and then go out and lose to Oregon,
mm-hmm.
All right?
That was just a shot right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Gratuitous though it may be, but you get my point. The volatility, right? They can go out and be up and be down. The game against St. John's, half to half, take the first half and juxtapose it to the second half.
Yes.
My goodness. The volatility is right in front of your face. That's all you need to know about this team. Incredibly capable, incredibly dangerous. And then incredibly capable of blowing up and self-destructing. What are you going to get? That's the question. I don't know how you could look at this and make a prediction one way or the other. Now, you're using a very good stat mm-hmm. so far. There's no doubt about that. But for me, this is anyone's guess.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're crazy if you're convicted on the pick. Because the one thing, what's really interesting about this is how the Wildcats actually play into this a little bit. If this was Buffalo's first trip to the tournament, it doesn't matter that they're young and they got their big wins and stuff like that. Their nice win at the Carrier Dome this year. It's like everything's new when you get into the NCAA tournament. But remember what they did last year. to a local team. You know, they understand what they're in for, and they've been playing as a top 25 team most of the year. So there's nothing that's going to faze them. You're going to have to beat them. You're going to have to be better than they are today to beat them.
You're going to have to tell me how Remy Martin is going to do, right? Is Remy healthy? Is he ready to go? How is that groin? That is going to be huge. Will he come in and be a stabilizing force?
Yesterday, we had Bobby Hurley on the show on no sleep, maybe an hour's worth of sleep, and you asked him, did anything happen in that game on Wednesday night that could be considered a retweak?
So he didn't retweak it at all, the groin?
No, he did nothing like that. He said he felt... he felt great, and, you know, he was walking fine after, and, you know, we'll meet up with him this morning and just see how he's feeling today, because that's always an important thing that they follow, and, you know, that type of workout.
They really managed his minutes in that game.
Yeah, they did. You know, here's the thing, too, that has to be said, ladies and gentlemen, and I have no idea. I have no idea if they're doing this anymore, right? But I will tell you, back when I played in college, they used to shoot you up. If you wanted to be shot up for a game, they would do that, right? I don't know. I know you can shoot a groin. I know that you can, ladies and gentlemen. But you're rolling the dice. If, in fact, you are Bobby Hurley, what you're saying is, this is it. We're gonna draw a line in the sand. We're either beating Buffalo or not. That is it. Because Remy Martin, after that game, where you can't feel your groin for the most part, after that game, you may have tweaked that thing, and yet you didn't know you tweaked that thing. That means probably he's done for the rest of the tournament, even if you beat Buffalo, obviously.
So basically, we're going to ballpark the time as around 1 o'clock for tip-off. But really, Northern Kentucky plays Texas Tech, and then it's about 20 minutes after the conclusion of that game. That game's also in Tulsa. That's when ASU goes. And another thing to keep an eye on, if you care, is the embarrassment that the Pac-12 was last year. Remember, ASU's win Wednesday was the first win in 2 years for the conference.
2 years.
And the other two teams play today. The Maloney Ducks play about 10 minutes after ASU tips off. They're against Wisconsin. Maloney, let's go. Not Sunday. I want you to go up in flames on Sunday. But today, I got Oregon as one of my 5-12 upsets. I had Oregon and Murray State as a 5-12 upset. But I got UW losing to Utah State. So I'm hoping the conference goes 2-1.
Speaking of predictions, what is your prediction? Bobby Hurley get tossed from this game?
No.
I'm just saying it. Do you think his emotions are even going to be a little bit more raw, even a little higher, against the program he helped build? And Nate Oates, his former assistant, you know, maybe the personal thing is going to get to him, and the emotions are going to run even higher than normal.
You asked him if people are making too big of a deal between the Buffalo ASU thing.
I mean, I think so. I mean, I know that Nate is, knowing Nate like I do, is just concentrate on breaking film down like I am and figuring out what the best plan of action is for this entire day, so that we, and from our standpoint, we get the recovery that we need so that we're able to exert maximum effort.
You got to play the other cut where he said, you know, listen, we're friends. We're really, you know, we know each other, and yet none of that is going to matter. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that was the cut I loved.
Yeah, I have so much love, and I enjoyed those years so much and felt, you know, so proud of what Nate's doing. So it's going to be a little surreal.
Wrong one.
You know, Nate and I spoke, and we both agreed that we're really good friends, and we both helped each other tremendously in our careers, but that's probably not going to matter a whole lot on Friday.
We're really good friends, and you know what? We both have helped each other with our careers, and
but if you're,
that really isn't going to matter come game time.
You know, if you're about 25 or 28 years old, you can feel that. If you've got a college buddy that you worked on college projects together with, you did a lot of things together, and you know, and maybe there was a small opportunity somewhere at the college station, you helped your buddy out, and then he reciprocated maybe really early in your career, and then all of a sudden, you're 28 years old, you got a family, and you're both up for the same job somewhere?
Yeah.
Sorry, bub.
Yeah. Well, listen, you just don't hear coaches say that. You hear players say that all the time, and rightfully so. Hey, listen, when we compete against each other, this is going to be it. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong, right? I know that when my brother, I competed against my brother, period. I know that sentiment. You just don't hear coaches typically say that.
It doesn't
matter.
We're
friends and everything else, but it's not going to matter come game time.
Coming up next, the number one question in all of the NFL is the number one question in Maricopa County, and it just dominated a topic. We'll tell you what next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Let's stick the mouth guard in, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up the bonnet.
Boy, there are so many reasons why this could be played right now. Tomorrow, as jacked up as I am for the NCAA tournament, you've got the NHL playoff race. Every team is in action tomorrow.
I see.
Dallas against Pittsburgh. Colorado and Chicago start a home and home. The Coyotes are at New Jersey, and Minnesota's at Carolina. Here we go. And you're less than a month away from the NFL draft. You're less than a week away right now from Major League Baseball, the true opening day on American soil. Here we go.
Oh, my goodness. Punch it! One of the best things about playing the blood sport, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best things about it is the mouth guard. When you get a little blood in the mouth and it mixes with dirt and it's in your mouth guard and you kind of start biting on it. Oh, you want to talk about agitated? That'll agitate you, and yet it feels so good.
Are you sure it's your blood, though?
Oh, yeah, it's okay. My blood. There's no doubt about it. Somebody else's blood would be barf time. Although you are wearing other people's blood on your pants, that's okay. In the mouth, that's not. Ron Wolfley reporting.
It is kind of funny that football has just accepted there's nothing we could do about blood.
No.
The game of basketball is a pretty physical game. And
yes, it is.
Everything changes when there's blood on a jersey. I mean, the world stops, spray the solution on the jersey, wipe it off, can't get it off. You've got to go get a new jersey. Hockey, you'll probably change sweaters at the end of the period, but you're not going to stop the game for it.
Hockey players.
We'll have somebody come out and shovel it off the ice. We'll scoop your blood off the ice, but we got to keep going.
Hockey players still the toughest athlete on the face of the planet. Isn't that right, Connor Garland?
Did I ever tell you my Dick Butkus story?
No. Dick Butkus? Knock it off.
Yeah.
13 years, I would have heard Dick Butkus story.
It's one of those
Maybe
when
you did.
I'm retelling somebody else's story.
Maybe you were just so boring telling it, I just forgot.
But when I was in Huntsville, Alabama, I had a friend named Michael, and Michael was a beer distributor. So he said his company had sold so much beer, they won a football dinner, and his table was with Dick Butkus. And he said this, I'll never forget this. He said, Dick Butkus never talked the whole dinner. Didn't say a word the whole dinner. So it's like two clients, a beer representative, and Dick Butkus. And Dick Butkus never talked, just ate. And they basically started to ignore him, and they were talking hockey.
Yeah.
And when they were talking hockey, all of a sudden, Dick Butkus pointed his fork right at my friend and said, this is Dick Butkus. Now, keep this in mind. He said, hockey players are the toughest ever.
I remember the story now. I do.
And
there you go.
And that's all he said. So if you're a hockey guy, you got the ultimate compliment from the toughest
Butkus
player in football.
And other than Jack Lambert.
The only thing he wanted to say to clients was, they are the toughest bleeps ever.
Yes. Did you want to say something, Mal? Are you okay?
She's fixing something.
Yes. Butkus, that was good, Douglas.
All of the talk.
Do that more.
All of the
Be
talk there is about the draft is more and more people coming to this side.
Yeah, I think it's very, very, very likely that they wind up taking him. I think it'll be a surprise if they don't. I think there's just been too many things that that would add up to him being a good fit for Cliff Kingsbury and he wants to do. I think Cliff really admires the young man as far as all the way back to high school and then what he did at Oklahoma. I think he admires his skill set. I think he can project his skill set into his system and have it be something that would be relatively seamless as far as rookies go.
I do believe Lewis Riddick is the next Mike Mayock.
Really?
I totally believe Lewis Riddick is going to continue to advance.
Yep.
And he actually played in the NFL. I think Mayock just basically got a cup of coffee, was on a practice squad, stuff like that.
Yep.
I'm not ripping him for it, but he went from media straight to general manager because of how polished he is and how you could tell his work ethic by what he says. Riddick is the same way. So there's him saying that, and I love the speculation then, because you hate to say it, but the NFC West is on the clock again after the Cards are off the clock.
From there, then the draft becomes, quite honestly, becomes a lot of fun because there's a bunch of good pass rushers to come off the board then, and where does Dwayne Haskins go? But I think Kyler Murray to Arizona is more of a certainty than not, for sure.
Boy, it's so cool right now. You know what, honestly, we can get down in the weeds and we can look around right now this morning, Basinonians, but that's not where you want to be. You want to elevate yourself. You want to go to 30,000 feet and look at this situation right now. So let's do that. Go to 30,000 feet right now and look at the football universe from a whole different perspective. It is in a state of flux. You've been hearing me talk about this now for weeks, months. It's in a state of flux, the football universe. There is a schism that is going on right now. That's right, a schism. Look it up, my young crunk brothers, right? A disagreement, two different paths that are being conjoined in the National Football League. A schism is occurring right now. The progressive brand of football, that being Cliff Kingsbury, and Kyler Murray, and the traditional brand of football, that being Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
The show Good Morning Football had an interesting topic, and I'll be really brief on it, but the topic was one of those, you sit around a production table in television, you think, we got to think of the question, and we got to have everybody answer their, and I realize it's kind of like 1990s sports talk radio, and now television's just getting to it, but it was an interesting question, and the question was, who has a better chance of starting week one, Kyler Murray or Josh Rosen? And
wow.
Basically, to a man.
I'm going to go with Kyler Murray getting.
No matter where he goes with the Cardinals, not, I think he'll start week one.
The potential quarterbacks that you draft, they sit and wait. But the dynamic quarterbacks that you draft, you put them on the field early. You mentioned Baker Mayfield. Lamar Jackson is also a shining example of why you get a guy on the field sooner than later. So wherever he goes, and I do feel like it's going to be Arizona, he's going to start week one.
Wow, that is really interesting.
All three of them, their panelists, Nate Burleson, Kyle Brandt, and the reporter.
Right? I mean, you would have to say that, because if, in fact, you're saying the Cardinals are going to draft Kyler Murray, I think we all assume what's going to happen. Josh Rosen's going to be traded somewhere else, right?
And more than likely, it would be a team like the Giants or the Patriots or somebody that has a guy in place that they want Josh to sit behind.
Like the Redskins, Case Keenum, right?
Yeah.
Case Keenum.
Keenum might only be for a month, and then it might be the same situation with Sam Bradford. I could see the Redskins making that trade for him, and he beats out Case Keenum by mid-season.
Okay, by mid-season, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I could see that. But I think Kyler Murray, if you're going to draft Kyler Murray,
you're going to start
week
Kyler
one.
Yeah, I do too. Coming up next, for the first time in a year, Suns fans felt like it's okay if we don't win the draft lottery. We'll tell you about Jaw next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Talking about all things Ja, ninth player in NCAA tournament history since they kept track of triple doubles to have a triple double in a tournament game. And here's LaFonso Ellis on SportsCenter.
I didn't know he was that good. I mean, it's one thing to be able to do it in his conference against, you know, different level of competition. It's a completely different deal on day one of the NCAA tournament against a Marquette team that plays in the Big East and come out and really toying with guys at times, taking it between his legs, around his back, little step back jumper, getting in the lane. They double teamed him in the left corner. He got to the rack and able to make a really sweet pass across the floor for a three. This kid is a transcendent talent.
We're dancing.
Oh, you better believe this kid. kid is a transcendent talent. Are you kidding me? The first thought I had, ladies and gentlemen, as I was watching Murray State and Ja Morant was Doug Lease was right. That was number one. You've been talking about Ja for how long now?
Basically the this
being
year.
The college basketball freakazoid that you are, right? You've been talking about Ja. And I'm like, whatever, Doug Lease, whatever. I've seen clips of Ja based on these. You can't evaluate a kid. You really can't get a feel for a kid until you watch at least one game within the context of that one game.
And I don't think it's illegal, but Maloney gets some credit for this too.
And that's what happened last night, ladies and gentlemen, as I'm watching Murray State play Marquette. Ja. Oh, my goodness. He looks different from everybody else on the floor, does he not, you freak-a-leak? He looks different from everybody else on the floor. He moves differently, like a glitch. The Glitch is what we're going to call him. We're the Wu-Fang Clan. The Glitch.
You don't want to get Petey Pablo on again?
Ja. Yeah, what did... This is freak-a-leak right here, is it not? Petey Pablo. You freak-a-leak.
Man, it's the freak-a-leak himself, man.
That's right, man. I'm telling you, Ja Morant, oh my goodness. What a glitch. How twitchy can you possibly be? The athleticism, the raw athleticism, just dripping from this guy's body. Extraordinary. This kid took 9 shots, Basinonians, and he dominated the game. He dominated the game. Anyone who watched that game, it was the Ja game. Dominating. 9 shots. As a matter of fact, I just saw a stat up there. He either scored or contributed 55 points via assists, of course, obviously, right? Think about that for a minute. This kid was on fire last night, and although I'm partly joking here, I had to sat down Kelly Oubre Jr. too. Freak-a-leak. There it is. Freak-a-leak.
I have no doubt in my mind the Suns are tanking.
The glitch.
Kelly Oubre could be playing, and he does have a thumb injury, and I'm sure he would have needed surgery after the year, but it's 100% they're thinking, why? Why wait till after the year? We have a legitimate reason to make it look like we're not tanking, so we're going to work on this thumb. You need to get it done, so we're going to have a procedure. We'll work on your thumb. Oh, well, you're not out there. TJ Warren, come on. Now they're saying with TJ Warren, well, it's going to be hard for him to get back into shape in enough time. Now, and there might be a little bit of agent tanking there. With TJ Warren, it might be a little bit, I don't want my client back out there for the chance to get hurt or struggle at the end of the year. Let's keep him, you know, sheltered here. But I have no doubt in my mind that they're tanking, and they look at it and say, as long as we're in the top two, look how much better we get. How good will they be if you have finally Devin Booker off the ball and Ja Morant having the vision to find him on his drives, and Devin Booker is now spreading the court with his shooting ability and to open it up for Ayton? Or you get the number one pick and you choose Zion, and now you've got a beast like that who can do so much and basically show Ayton this is how we play, because he obviously hasn't learned it from Rashawn Holmes. So you get Zion there for him to keep up with.
Right. I want you to think about this, Basinonians. My young crunk brothers, go ahead and close your eyes right now. Imagine that your eyes are closed and you're standing in this dimly lit room. And then suddenly somebody comes up behind you and sticks a bag over your head, all right? Sticks a bag over your head, and you can't get the bag off your head. And then somebody kicks you right in the cradle. Do you have that image in your head right now, my young Craig brothers? That's exactly how it would feel to get pick number 3 in this draft, all right? Pick number 3. It's still not it's not a bad thing, but you know what? Oh my goodness. Can you imagine missing out on Zion and Ja? Either one of those two? You're pick number 3. Here we go. Bag over the head. What a bit of misery that would be. I honestly, I'd rather not have a first round pick if that were going to happen. Just go all or nothing on it. Brutal. Just watching Jaw too. You've been talking about his athleticism as well, Douglas, but it just twitchy and long, right, for a guy that is only 6'3", and I say only, but, you know, for the most part, a basketball player, a point guard at 6'3". There's been other point guards that have been taller, of course, right? There's been point guards that have been smaller as well, but he looks long. He looks twitchy. He was just moving differently, and the fact that he's got such an incredible handle blew my mind. Right?
Watch his teammates.
The way he passes the ball just right off the dribble like it was nothing. Takes a great handle to be able to do that.
When you watch them play, and the reason why we keep bringing this up, if you're a Suns fan, the Ja Morant thing is it's either Zion or Ja if you have one of the first two picks, and that's why it's so important. So when you're watching the game Murray State against Florida State, this is going to be an amazing game. Florida State is unbelievably long. Florida State has length all over the place. Ja's going to have to play this well to beat Florida State. Now, Florida State really laid an egg. They pulled away eventually against UVM, but they really laid an egg in their first game. But as you're watching the game, really focus on his teammates. Watch the bench. When Ja does something that he makes a shot or does something that's just average, the bench is still thrilled. You could tell they don't have the attitude that says, this guy acts like a superstar off the court. So I'm just going to stand up and clap because my team's winning.
Yeah, right.
They're into it. Watch Ja's reaction when somebody makes a shot, even if he doesn't get the assist. You can tell the team matters, yet there's still the confidence that says, I can break you.
Yes.
Not a lot of players have the confidence that says I'm better than you, but the humility to say I can only do it with my teammates.
I just try to come out and give it all I could tonight and just try to do whatever I could to get my team a win. And I had to help bigs on the boards, and obviously I wouldn't be able to get the triple-doubles without my teammates making shots. So the credit for this game goes to them.
And now, Dramatic Read.
756.
At Dramatic Read, hashtag Dramatic Read, sponsored by nobody, beloved by everybody.
No,
today's Dramatic Read is read by sports fans in the basin. The pitch surrounds me and confounds me. There is darkness on the air. Shadows and silence, but alas, 'tis silence or the sound of many voices in my head. Oh, the voices whispering. Kyler.
Where did Kyler come into? We're talking Ja.
Well, you were talking Ja right there, right? And I know you wanted to talk Kyler, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Zion.
I wanted to talk Zion and Ja. You know what's amazing is I sit here for 364 days dying of the day that I could talk college basketball.
Zion!
And now you spent 8 minutes of that beautiful part of the program talking John. When do I get to do that?
Yeah, right.
I love this!
Well, you should.
Zion!
Just in the middle of January, let's talk John!
Try to be entertaining then.
You want to talk Kyler all the time. Coming up next, the Cardinals have been active in free agency. We'll tell you exactly why it's special, what they've done. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.